भवतु सह नौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तुमाविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Ki Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Chapter 30, Further Features of Ecstatic Love of Krishna. From verse 2498. Jiva Goswami. When the devotees of the Lord develop moha, they are still conscious of Krishna, because without Him as their shelter, their various emotional states cannot exist. Thus it is said, O Shonaka, greatest of saints and devotees, when Maharaj Parikit inquired from Sukadeva Goswami in this way, Sukadeva Goswami, immediately remembering subject matters about Krishna within the core of his heart, externally lost contact with the actions of the senses. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.12.44. When the lack of external consciousness becomes most prominent, the state is called pralaya, sattvika bhava. When the state of internal functions becomes prominent, when the lack of internal functions becomes prominent, it is called moha. Thus, in the definition of moha, it is said, hrin mudata, lack of awareness internally. Mudha means a swoon, or lack of consciousness. Hrid means internal. The meaning of the state of moha can be derived from the meaning of the roots. Right? So one is when the external, the lack of consciousness is there. There means, how you say it? When the external functions are the prominent, it's called pralaya. When the internal functions are not functioning, then that's called moha. Right? Because naturally, if the internal is not, the external tends to not also function. But it's just a matter of the mood, right? Because you're just seeing what's the source of it. Right? There was some other... Before, he was saying about the internal and external... Yeah. About the, what was that? No, because in one of the ones before it mentioned about the hrid and the other, that there were two forms. No, I don't remember. So we can see is that when the emphasis is on the external aspect not functioning, then that'll be pralaya. You know, it means the devastation. And when it's the internal isn't functioning, then it will be moha. Because the external could stop functioning, the internal could still be functioning. Right? But in any case, it's pointed out that they're still conscious of Krishna. Because the whole point of the ecstatic symptom that's coming up is because of absorption in Krishna. So that will never stop. So that's why it's said that the devotees are beyond the waking, sleep, and dreaming, you know, states, because they're on the transcendental platform. So they never forget Krishna, right? They just won't be forgetful of Krishna. That's the point. So they're situated on that transcendental platform. So the idea is that when they swoon, they're still conscious of Krishna. You know, just like we see in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, when he would get this effect, then the devotees would do kirtan, and he said, why did you bring me back from, you know, he was involved in Krishna's pastimes, and it was all so nice, and now you made a big noise, and, you know, like that. So you can see is that absorption in Krishna always remains. It doesn't change. Page 66.
Right now, also next line is described the same.
Okay. Unmara, Hrid Brahma. Okay, it was just mentioned that. It just mentions the one. Okay. Okay, so it's coming up. Okay. 2, 4, and 99. So it's Saptika Bhava, the Pralaya, because it's the physical. It's being overwhelmed by, like that. So you can see is that with these centuries that they can be either more towards the sattvika aspect or more towards the anubhava aspect, like that. So it's just that they function in, they create all these. 2, 4, 99. Giving up life because of grief, sickness, fear, beating, or exhaustion is called mriti, death. In this state, unclear speaking, change of bodily color, feeble breathing, and hiccups occur. 2, 4, 100. The pious persons of Mathura, with weak breathing, eyes glancing sideways and upwards, taking on a unique complexion in their bodies and hiccuping loudly, gave up their lives while uttering Krishna's name unclearly. Srila Prabhupada. In this connection, there's a statement about persons who died at Mathura. These persons had a slight breathing exhilaration. Their eyes were wide open. The colors of the body were changed. They began to utter the holy name of Krishna. In this condition, they gave up their material bodies. These are symptoms. These symptoms are prior manifestations of death. 2, 4, 101. Another example. The sun in the form of Krishna drank up the deep darkness of life, of the midnight in the form of Putana. Her eyes lit up for a moment beyond her control and then died out, like the glowing of fireflies in the night. That midnight suddenly disappeared with the loud hooting of owls in the form of her death groans. 2, 4, 102.
In Natya Shastra, this is graphically described by describing the medical condition of the person is bitten by a snake, then how one stage after it changes the whole bodily symptoms.
Okay.
So the similar thing is like...
Yes, but here is because they're absorbed in Krishna. So this is the origin of all the different things we have here. Mm-hmm. And then in the material world, you get the same things, but they're all it all has that mechanical effect.
Yes.
You know? So there it'll be because of the ecstasies, and here it'll be because of sometimes lack of, lack of ecstasy. Or too much ecstasy, whatever it is. This year. Two, four, 102. The state of consciousness just prior to death is generally called mriti. However, some say that mriti should be considered only an external similarity to death, anubhava. It has been described in the enemies of Krishna, although it is not the vyabhichari bhava called mriti, just in order to show his power. Right. So in connection with Krishna, they're showing Krishna's power, how he can kill these demons that nobody else can deal with, nobody else can control. And so we see they have the same kind of symptoms. And so that, you know, they're absorbed in Krishna and all these different things, though it may be an enmity and all. But it's saying that the century of mriti, that's not that has the same kind of symptoms, but it's not that they necessarily die. Right? It's just that the aspect of pralaya in that is so great that then you see these symptoms.
In Chaitanya Charitamrita also, we saw the example of Lakshmi Priya Devi.
Yes.
In separation.
Yes. Jiva Goswami. Three statements are made concerning mriti. The author is not satisfied with the first conclusion, since there's a lack of bhava at the stage of giving up life. The second statement means that giving up life, mriti, should not only be an external appearance of death-like symptoms, anubhava. This is stated by some, meaning the author. Not satisfied with the description of mriti given in describing Putana in verse 101, he explains that this is not the same as mriti vyabhichari bhava, which appears in the devotees. Right, so you're explaining it, but you have to understand it has that external symptom, that's the anubhava. Right? Because that's the whole point. It's like you see is the sattvika, they're coming from the life airs and the effect of the life airs. So it's an internal condition that therefore has an external manifestation. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Anubhava specifically, the external manifestations, it's there. You know, it's due to ecstasy of Krishna, but because of the intellectual aspect, it's not, it's the consciousness is determining, but it's not coming from the mind and that from inside. Does that make sense? 24103. Lack of enthusiasm to do activities because of satiation or fatigue, even though one has the ability to do them, is called alasya. 24104. In this state, stretching the limbs, yawning, disgust with work, rubbing the eyes, lying down, fondness for sitting down, exhaustion and sleep occur. Now this is a Vyabhichari which we can relate to. Yeah. 24105. Alasya arriving from satiation. O king of the cowherds, at the festival of Govardhana, we have become so satisfied that we cannot even give blessings. Srila Prabhupada. Laziness. When, because of self-satisfaction or dislike of excessive labor, a person does not perform his duty in spite of having the energy, he is called lazy. This laziness also is manifested in ecstatic love for Krishna. For example, when some Brahmins were requested by Nanda Maharaj to circumambulate Govardhan Hill, they told him that they were more interested in offering benedictions than in circumambulating Govardhan Hill. This is an instance of laziness caused by self-satisfaction. 24106.
Not my service provision.
Yeah, yeah. So it's that you're there at the, how you say it, the Govardhan Palace, and you're just satisfied sitting there chanting your japa like that, even though everybody else is going to go out on parikram like that. So now you can see it's an ecstatic symptom.
I'm going to use this.
But we need to be at the
Baba
stage.
That's a small detail that, you know, hopefully no one else knows enough about the, yeah. 24106. Alasya arising from fatigue. After arm wrestling with me to please me, he cannot do any activity now, and he is stretching his limbs. You should not call him to fight immediately. Srila Prabhupada. Once when Krishna, along with his cowherd friends, was having a mock battle, Subala showed the symptoms of fatigue. Krishna immediately told his other friends, Subala is feeling too fatigued from mock fighting with me, so please do not disturb him any more by inviting him to fight. This is an instance of laziness caused by dislike of excessive labor. 24107. Right, so he's so absorbed in it, so that he's still absorbed in the ecstasy of that application of service. That, you know, therefore, then he's not interested in doing any more physical activity. Does that make sense? That's what he's saying. He's still, you know, in other words, he's still absorbed in the ecstasy of arm wrestling with Krishna. So therefore, now he's not interested in doing something else. Yeah, so, you know, minor problem is the absorption of Krishna, you know, and having been absorbed in service to Krishna, so. That makes sense, yeah. Absence of the ability to decide anything, which arises from hearing or seeing desirable or undesirable things, or which arises from separation, is called jatiyam. This occurs previous to and following moha. Inoperative mind. In this state, blinking of the eyes, silence, and forgetfulness occur. Jiva Goswami. Aprati patihi means not having the ability to decide. It is said to be similar to moha, since it is the state of preceding and following moha, but it is separate from moha. So you'll get that state coming in, then it'll turn into moha, then go out of moha, you'll get it. Does that make sense? So you're indecision, but it hasn't come to the point where one, therefore, is basically that aspect of devastation. Okay. 24108. From hearing what is desirable from the 10th canto. Using their upraised ears as vessels, the cows are drinking the nectar of the flute song flowing out of Krishna's mouth. The calves, their mouth full of milk from their mother's moist nipples, stand still as they take Govinda within themselves through their tear-filled eyes and embrace him within their hearts. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.21.13. Srila Prabhupada, inertness. In the 10th canto, 21st chapter, verse 13 of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is an appreciation by the gopis of the inertia of the cows in Vrindavan. The gopis saw that the cows were hearing the sweet songs vibrated by Krishna's flute and were appearing to be drinking the nectar of these transcendental sounds. The calves were stunned, and they forgot to drink the milk from the milk bags. Their eyes seemed to be embracing Krishna, and there were tears in their eyes. This is an instance of inertia resulting from hearing the transcendental vibrations of Krishna's flute. So here we see is that it's the same, ecstatic symptom. But depending upon what its source is, then sometimes we see is that it uses the same term, like Prabhupada uses the same translation, or he gives it a different translation. So you can tell the difference between them. Like that. Because, you know, in other words, there's a difference between laziness and inertness. But the effect that you're not doing anything, that's the common comment between them. Right? 2.4.109. From hearing what is undesirable. Hearing Keshava call out someone else's name, the heart of Lakshmana, one of the leaders of the gopis, was pained. Her eyes stopped blinking, and she did not utter a word. Srila Prabhupada. When Lakshmana became disturbed upon hearing words against Krishna, she remained inert and did not move her eyelids. This is another example of inertia caused by hearing. So also you see a difference in, do we see the difference in the angle? The one is that Lakshmana has heard Krishna calling out someone else's name. And Prabhupada is talking about being disturbed on hearing words against Krishna. So that means she is one of the leaders of the gopis. So being a gopi group leader, right? That means that she'll have her assistants, right? She'll have her astasaki. And so one of them is telling about how Krishna is calling out someone else like this. And hearing that, then this is happening. So one is just mentioning just by hearing that, then she's there. The other one is then you see the context in which it's heard. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. 2.4.110. Right? In other words, it's not a different thing. Because someone could say, because sometimes it looks like it's different from what's being said, but it's taking it from the particular angle of how it's applied. Yes, because otherwise we would just take it in the mechanical sense. So Prabhupada brings that personal aspect into it. Because otherwise then we will tend to look at it, you know, mechanically. And then you know, we may learn it nicely, and then the difficulty comes is that it may just be an intellectual exercise. But Prabhupada's trying to bring it through to that personal aspect. It means the acharyas are giving, and so in how you put it together, you can put it together in the one way or put it together in the other way. It's not that it's a different thing, it's just the words can do so many aspects. Does that make sense? So it's just like if you know the language and know the situation, you may interpret it differently than someone else will. You know? Like that. You know, it's just like, how you say, the elder Indian gentleman, you know, he's in America and he can't understand why the Americans are so enthusiastic about, a garam kuta. Does that mean anything to anyone?
Hot dog.
You have a hot dog.
Yeah.
Right? So they'll interpret it to mean a dog that's hot. An actual dog.
Yes.
So that's the point, is that we in translation may sometimes catch all the subtleties that we may not.
Yes.
So we see Prabhupada very nicely brings out. Or if the subtleties will be such that they're distracting, then Prabhupada will bring it back to a level that will not be distracting.
Yes.
So
it's like giving protection.
Yes, it's protection. Because otherwise, if we're still looking, it means if one's looking from the descending vision, then there won't be a problem, because it's always seen in Krishna in that. But if we're looking from ascending, we can get into trouble. So Prabhupada will present it in such a way to bring out the descending and to keep us from getting entangled by our ascending view.
Yes.
So, yes.
Also, we say many times that sometimes a particular acharya in that contemporary period, in order to remove a particular anartha which is prominent,
yes,
he might be focusing on something
and
explaining elaborately, which is not required current time, like details of Maya. Who knows at all? Like,
yes, yes.
So, but
even the Mayavadis don't know.
So, but then those who are reading that acharya's literature feels that, like, oh no, we know something, like, no, which is more forward, but they are irrelevant actually.
Yes, yes, yes. So that's why it's always, we have to see things from the vision of Srila Prabhupada. That's how we approach the previous acharyas. And we're approaching the previous acharyas headed by Rupa Goswami. So it means that following Rupa Goswami is how, you know, we're approaching. So through the previous acharyas headed by Rupa Goswami. So therefore, it has to be in line with what Rupa Goswami says and from the vision that Srila Prabhupada is giving us.
Yes.
And Prabhupada in TLC then makes the further point that in that path, we're following the path chalked out by Jiva Goswami. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. Path chalked out by Jiva Goswami. So that means how the Sandarbhas are, you see, as I was going through, he's going through very nicely to convince you of the personal aspect. So even though we're discussing Krishna as the absolute, he's very strongly establishing the personal aspect there. Right? So that when you get to a more open discussion of the personal aspect, then you can appreciate it. Otherwise, if you're still dealing with all these aspects of the absolute, one won't appreciate it. Does that make sense? So that's our system. That's our how we function. So, yeah. 2.4.1.10. From seeing the object of desire from the 10th canto, King Yudhishthira respectfully brought Lord Govinda, the supreme god of gods, to his personal quarters. The king was so overcome with joy that he could not remember all the rituals of worship. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.71.39. Srila Prabhupada, in the 10th canto, 71st chapter, verse 39 of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is an account of King Yudhishthira's bewilderment after his bringing Krishna into his home with the greatest respect. King Yudhishthira was very much bewildered because of his transcendental pleasure at having Krishna present in his house. In fact, while receiving Krishna, King Yudhishthira forgot himself. This is an instance of inertia resulting from the ecstasy of seeing Krishna. Right. So the effect of this vyavichari is that action will stop.
Yes.
Right. But it's specifically coming because of these things that they just can't do an activity because they're so absorbed in Krishna.
He actually brings Krishna all the way inside, and then inside the home, then he performs all the worship.
Yes.
He should have performed first all the worship and then invited Krishna in.
No, but it's still, it's a different. The one will be the formal, been receiving and all that, and the other will be the personal in the house, you know. You know, it's just like you're distributing prasad in the group, and then you're inviting and feeding in your house. Because it's not the effect of doing the worship, it's the exchange. So you know, just that ecstasy that's there, that they're so absorbed, and how Krishna, it's because of their absorption in him that then all this is not working. So you can see for Krishna, it's not the efficiency of it, it's the rasa. 2.4.11. From seeing the undesirable from the 10th canto, sending their minds after Krishna, the gopis stood as motionless as figures in a painting. They remained there as long as the flag atop the chariot was visible, and even until they could no longer see the dust raised by the chariot wheels. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.39.36. Srila Prabhupada, there's another instance in the 10th canto, 39th chapter, verse 36 of Srimad Bhagavatam. When Krishna was going to Mathura, all the gopis were standing behind Krishna, and upon seeing the chariot leaving, they stood there stunned and did not move. They remained like that until the flag of the chariot and the dust thrown up by its wheels became invisible. Right? Because you'll see the chariot, then with time you'll only see the flag, then you'll only see the dust. But the point is they're still waiting because it's connected to Krishna. Only when you can't see the dust, then there's nothing to look at. Right? So then they just became motionless the whole time. 2:4, 1:12. From separation. Your friends, right? Like, that's why you see there's in the rule that you're sending off Vaishnavas or that, then you wait till you can't see anymore. Mm-hmm. Like that. We're doing because it's a rule. Yeah. What we see is that, you know, connect to Krishna, the devotees, it's because of the natural affection for Krishna. Right? So that's what we see is that the rules are there so that we do the things that they would naturally do, you know, due to a love of Krishna and the ecstatic symptoms that they would do in the spiritual world. Does that make sense? So it's very nicely what's the essential points and all that and what applies to us. That's then what is then given as the various rules. So spontaneity means these happen naturally. Yes.
So Maharaj, also in one sense, the rules will help us to be a member in the association of the...
Yes, yes.
Otherwise you'll be the odd one out.
Yes, yes, yes. Because that's the thing. It means one's doing because of the, how you say, the rules, one's doing because of the spontaneity, one's doing because of pure love for Krishna. You know, so all these different things are coming up, and they can all be there together. And basically the same experience, though the intensities will be different. So that's the advantage of the Vedic culture. That's a very good point. Does that make sense? Okay. 2:4:12. No, 2:4:1:12. From separation. Your friends, pained by long separation from you, remained on this earth like the deities of neglectful Brahmins, which are without ornaments, wearing soiled cloth which is falling off, with limbs dirty and thin. Srila Prabhupada. Krishna was once addressed by his friend thus, "My dear Mukunda, Krishna, due to their being separated from you, the cowherd boys are standing just like neglected deities in the house of a professional Brahmin." Yeah, yeah. "There is a class of professional Brahmins who take to deity worship as a means of earning their livelihood. Brahmins in this class are not very interested in the deity. They are interested mainly in the money they can earn as holy men." So because they're holy men, then they'll make money from that. So it's not about the deity. "So the deities worshipped by such professional Brahmins are not properly decorated. Their dress is not changed, and their bodies are not cleansed. They look dirty and are not very attractive. Actually, deity worship should be done very carefully. The dress should be changed daily, and as far as possible, there should be ornaments. Everything should be so clean that the deity is attractive to all visitors. Here the example is given of the deities in the house of a professional Brahmana, because such deities are not at all attractive. The friends of Krishna, in the absence of Krishna, were appearing like such neglected deities."
Another example is given that a Brahmana who breaks the coconut with the shaligram shiva.
Oh, okay. Yes. A bit neglectful. 2:4:1:13. "The state of bashfulness, the opposite of audacity, arising from just meeting one's lover, from performing forbidden activities, from praise or neglect, is called vrida, shyness. In this state there is silence, anxiety, covering the head, writing on the ground, and hanging the head." 2:4:1:14. From meeting the Lord for the first time from Padyavali. "O lotus-eyed friend, blinded with love, you have offered your beautiful body to Govinda. O friend, do not be miserly by showing yourself to him only a little. The purchased elephant does not quarrel with the goad." Srila Prabhupada, bashfulness. "When Radharani was first introduced to Krishna, she felt very bashful. One of her friends addressed her in this way, 'My dear friend, you have already sold yourself and all your beauty to Govinda. Now you should not be bashful. Please look upon him cheerfully. One who has sold an elephant to another person should not make a miserly quarrel about selling the trident which controls the elephant.'" This kind of bashfulness is due to a new introduction in ecstatic love with Krishna. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The purchased elephant does not quarrel with the goad. But that may be the saying, but it's a, what do you call it? But its meaning is how Prabhas.
Yeah.
2.4.1.15. Shame arising from doing forbidden actions. Okay, so that's the... Oh, Indra, you should not hang down your head in shame and remain silent. Take the Parijata tree and go. Otherwise, how can you show your face to your wife? 2.4.1.16. Shame from being praised. When Krishna praised Uddhava, listing all his good qualities, Uddhava lowered his head and took on a unique attractiveness. Srila Prabhupada. The heavenly king, Indra, upon being defeated in his fight with Krishna for possession of the Parijata flower, became very bashful because of his defeat. He was standing before Krishna, bowing down his head. When Krishna said, "All right, Indra, you can take this Parijata flower. Otherwise, you will not be able to show your face before your wife, Sachi Devi." Indra's bashfulness was due to defeat. In another instance, Krishna began to praise Uddhava for his various high qualifications. On being praised by Krishna, Uddhava also bowed his head bashfully. Two 4.1.17. Shame arising from neglect, from Harivamsa in a statement by Satya. Raivataka Mountain is always glorious with spring flowers. How can I look upon that mountain when I have lost the affection for Krishna? Though once I was most dear to him, or something, or. Okay, because Satya is one of his wives, huh? One of the eight. Srila Prabhupada, in the Harivamsa, Satyabhama, okay. Feeling slighted by Rukmini's high position, said, "My dear Krishna, the Raivataka mountain is always full of spring flowers, but when I have become persona non grata to you, what is the use of my observing them?" This is an instance of bashfulness arising from being defeated. 2.4.1.18. The external action of wanting to hide one's external symptoms because of thinking oneself low is called avahita. 2.4.1.19. In this state, hiding one's limbs so others will think that one is somewhat something else. Glancing elsewhere, useless actions and clever use of words occur. 2.4.1.20. The ancient authorities say that the bhava which conceals what's anubhavas, external symptoms, is called the avahita vyabhichari bhava, Srila Prabhupada, concealment. There is a symptom of ecstatic love known as concealment, or trying to hide one's real mental condition by externally showing another attitude. In this state of mind, one tries to hide his mind by looking away in different directions, by unnecessarily trying for something which is impossible, or by using words which cover one's real thoughts. According to acharyas, expert in the study of psychological activities, these attempts at hiding one's real affections are another part of ecstatic feelings for Krishna. Right? So when something comes up, then they'll talk about something else or look somewhere else, or, you know, someone else is, they're all doing this, you're looking at that, or, you know, or doing things that. So we see it's used a lot in the, it means we see many examples of this in the contemporary context.
Yes.
Something comes up that you wish hadn't, and then you start talking about something else or doing something else, or, you know, stuff like that. It always.
Mainly kids do in front of the mom.
Sorry?
Kids do in front of the mom when they have to hide something which they.
Yeah, yeah. And then one wonders, why does the mom know? Because of this. Otherwise, why are you doing this?
Academics do it also.
Sorry?
Academics do it too.
Yes.
Doesn't look as smart as the kid does.
Yes, like that. Because the kids can smile and it's better. Yeah. If the professor smiles, then they go, "What's wrong with this guy?" Yes. 2.4.1.21. Out of deceit, Sri Krishna had awakened romantic desires within the gopis, and they honored him by glancing at him with playful smiles, gesturing amorously with their eyebrows, and massaging his hands and feet as they held them in their laps. Even while worshipping him, however, they felt somewhat angry, which they concealed, and thus they spoke to him. right? So they're upset, so they're speaking in another way. So you can see is that it's not just the natural, that it has a very articulated kind of form, like that. Srila Prabhupada, in the 10th canto, 32nd chapter, verse 15 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadev Goswami states, "My dear king, the gopis were always beautiful and decorated with confidential smiles and alluring garments. In their movements, intended to give impetus to lusty feelings, they would sometimes press Krishna's hand on their laps, and sometimes they would keep his feet on their breasts. After doing this, they would talk with Krishna as if they were very angry with him." You know, because you're having the, it means you have it both ways. Is that, it means the example given here is that they're angry and they're showing that they're not. But at the same time, it's also the other way around. They're not, but they hide that by showing anger. Right? Because you see in that discussion, they're very angry with Krishna. Then they try to present a very logical argument, you know, about it, some intellectual argument that shows they're angry. So in other words, their anger is covering their, how you say? Their anger is covering their non-anger that's covering their anger, which is covering their love. So you get, Oh, 122. "Out of mild nature, when Madhusudana brought the Parijata tree to the house of Satyabhama, though Rukmini was filled with anger, no one could detect that deception because of her mildness." Srila Prabhupada. There's another instance of this concealment in ecstatic love. When Krishna, the supreme joker, planted the Parijata tree in the courtyard of Satyabhama, Rukmini, the daughter of King Vidarbha, became very angry. But due to her natural gentle behavior, she did not express anything. No one could understand Rukmini's real mental condition. This is an instance of competitive concealment. Right? So yeah, you have the same kind of thing, and then we saw before Satyabhama, then she is the same kind of, yeah. Yes, competition. Yeah. 24.123. Concealment out of bashfulness from the first canto. "The insuperable ecstasy was so strong that the queens, who were shy, first embraced the Lord in the innermost recesses of their heart. Then they embraced him visually, and then they sent their sons to embrace him, which is equal to personal embracing. But, O chief amongst the Bhrigus, though they tried to restrain their feelings, they inadvertently shed tears." Srila Prabhupada. There's another instance in the first canto, 11th chapter, verse 32 of Srimad Bhagavatam. After entering Dwarka, Krishna was received in different ways by different members of his family. Upon seeing their husband from a distance, the queens of Dwarka immediately embraced him within their minds and slowly glanced over him. As Krishna came nearer, they pushed their sons forward to embrace him. Others were trying, out of shyness, not to shed tears, but they still could not keep the tears from gliding down. Our 50cc man again. This is an instance of concealment caused by shyness. From deceit and bashfulness. "O messenger, will a respectable woman desire such a snake among cowherds? Remembering him, the hairs of my body are standing on end out of fear." Srila Prabhupada. On another occasion, when Srimati Radharani thought that Krishna was involved with another woman, she addressed her friend in this manner. "My dear friend, as soon as I think of Krishna, the cowherd boy, attracted to some other woman, I become stricken with fear, and the hairs of my body stand up. I must be very careful that Krishna not see me at such times." This is an instance of concealment caused by shyness and diplomatic behavior. 24.125. Concealment by good qualities. Using deceit and diplomatic behavior as synonyms.
Yeah.
24.125. concealment by good qualities. Though Radha's attachment to Krishna increased to the extreme, by the welfare of her self-control, he concealed it so that no one could doubt her. Srila Prabhupada, it has been stated, although Srimati Radharani developed a deep loving affection for Krishna, she hid her attitude in the core of her heart so that others could not detect her actual condition. This is an instance of concealment caused by gentleness. Jiva Goswami, Dakshin Yam means softness in the mind. This causes the concealment of anger. Saujanya, however, means that there is bashfulness and self-control. There's bashfulness and self-control which cause concealment. That is the difference. Her attraction was hidden. Mano gha varda garbhaga. Though it increased, proudapi, it remained hidden, durvi tarka, because of her strong self-control. Right, so this is bashfulness and control. Right? Concealment out of respect, 2.4.126. When Krishna began to joke among his laughing cowherd friends, his servant Patri became jubilant. Out of respect, he hung his head and with great difficulty covered his laughing. Srila Prabhupada, once when Krishna and his cowherd friends were enjoying friendly conversation, Krishna began to address his associates in casual language. At that time, Krishna's servant Patri was also enjoying the conversation, but then, remembering his position of servitude, Patri bowed before his master, and with great respect and control, he stifled his smiling. This subdued smiling is an instance of concealment caused by a respectful attitude.
That's why in Natya Shastra it's recommended respectable people of higher caste, they never laugh out loudly. So this is that respectful behavior in external circumstances. So,
yes, they won't laugh loudly. Yes, just that means they don't express the feeling so strongly. And all that. So if someone just is so much and completely forgetting who's there, that it's not as they don't have that gentleness, the good qualities. Okay, that's it. Okay, so when they're playing that part, then they're very careful how they laugh and stuff.
Even it's recommended for the audience, how different audience should respond even while the play is going on.
Okay. So depending upon the character and all that. So you put the gentle ones in the front and the rowdy ones in the back. Okay. So then they can laugh and it's all right. Yeah, because you have also different audiences. I don't know, in Kerala you have one kind of drama. You know, they have the drama that they do. They have the public ones, but there's also some the ones that are done that only, you know, like 10, 15 people will come to. Like that. The place that it's performed in is very small. And so, because the abhiman that they'll use, that's something that in somewhere else would just be a moment they would do. They'll stretch it out for even minutes. You know, so there is, you can see the adjustment and change from each vyabhichari, from one into the other, you know, very, very fully. You know, that and the body and everything, and it moves very slow. So only people who are that well trained in it and that kind of character that could sit there through that, they come to those performances. So probably there, if it's done super well, they'll just get a small little smile or something. Like that. So, yeah. Through 128. Three bhavas will be seen operating in this situation. One as a cause, one which is concealed, and one bhava which conceals the other. Individually or in a group, the bhavas may act as a cause, being concealed or concealing, right? So we've learned each one of them. We did all of them? What was it? 44? Yeah, so, in a sense,
I just explained you for some
self-explanatory. Treaty. Concealment. No, we're here. Okay, so it's just about concealment. Still got a ways to go. So that you'll have many of them functioning at once. So you're discussing them one by one, just like in the Gita. Then when we're discussing yoga, we're discussing karma yoga on its own, then jnana yoga on its own, then karma and jnana combined on its own, then jnana yoga on its own. But in factuality, they apply together. Just like when it describes the three modes of nature, it's describing each one on its own, but they all three work together. But each one's giving their different effect. Does that make sense? So that's the aspect that we have to be able to appreciate, is that we're learning them so we can identify each one, but they'll work together. So, you know, because like we were saying there, one is being concealed the other, and then the third one's concealing that one. So we saw with the gopis, you're dealing in all those levels. Because they have affection for Krishna, but they're angry with Krishna. They're concealing that by their clever words and all that, which is, you know, which is, but those clever words are also being then presented in a feigned angry. You know, so the feigned angry is concealing their concealment of their actual anger, which is then manifest of their manifestation of their love. So that's what it's meaning. You have all the levels will work at once. Yes, means you have your main emotions and you have the vyabhichari emotions that are going. You know, because there's constantly some aspect that's connecting to Krishna, right? Some aspect of the udipans and that is there. And so the stai bhava is fixed, but then depending upon the udipans that are there, then you're going to get your anubhava, sattvika bhavas, and the vyabhicharis in the background working. Right? Does that make sense? So all that will be going on at once. You study them individually, but all of them together functioning, that's called rasa. Right? So we say conjugal rasa means that whole system that comes up because of the conjugal rati. Right, so the Madhurya Rati, that will then bring out this whole group together. So that group together, that's called the conjugal rasa. Right? Yeah. Jiva Goswami, in verse 121, the cause is deceit filled with envy. Jai Mya. It is a crookedness of mind which will later be revealed by her words. It is understood as well by the movements of their brows. That what is concealed, gopya, is the anger stemming from envy. This is understood from the words, ishat kupita, they were slightly angry. The 21 was the... Which one was that? The... Okay. Gopana means that by which they concealed something, in this case, the anger. In the case of the gopis, the concealed element, gopana, is a show of joy made convincing by words of praise and touching his body, though their laughing glances make the deceit convincing. These glances are part of the strategy of concealment and are false. The gopana elements are an appearance only. Though the acts which produce concealment are only an appearance, they are also an anubhav in themselves. So, even though that's not the main thing, it's an anubhav that they would be using that in dealing with their ecstatic symptoms. Right? In verse 122, the cause is the submissive attitude, what is well known in Rukmini and therefore has not been mentioned. What is hidden, gopya, is her anger. That is mentioned in the verse. Shaushilya means a false gentle behavior. She appeared joyful because of that behavior, which was the concealment element, gopana, right? So she appeared joyful, so it's also an ecstatic symptom, right? Because that's what we're dealing with, is a vyabhichari, but it's concealing anger. So which is another ecstatic symptom. In verse 123, the cause of concealment is bashfulness. What is concealed, gopya, is the duranta bhava, their inner intention to enjoy the Lord. The concealed element, gopana, is their slight control, manifest by an attempt to hold back their tears. And to hide the flow of tears, the queen sent their sons to embrace their lord. This is also a concealed element, gopana, indicating mere friendliness, which is obligatory towards a husband. This conceals their desire to enjoy with the lord. Rearranging the sentence, the actual order is as follows. First by glancing, then by intelligence, and then by sending their sons to embrace the lord. Verse 124, the cause is a natural deceitful nature. What is concealed, gopya, is her joy. The concealed element, gopana, is fear and speaking. In verse 125, the cause is saujanya, or good character. In verse 126, the cause is respect. The concealed element, gopana, is self-control or the attempt to do so. What is hidden, gopya, is his unsteadiness. Right? He's there, and he's supposed to be the servant, but then the coward boys and Krishna say something funny, and he starts laughing, so he's unsteady. So he's trying to then conceal that. So the point of that concealment of a static emotion that comes up that doesn't necessarily have, you know, an appropriate place there, or you don't want to show that, then that's then covered, the gopya, by something else. But its covering is also an ecstatic element. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. You're saying this ecstatic element comes up because of fear, but a fear is also an ecstatic element. Does that make sense? Yeah. 2.4.129. Scrutiny of previous experience, which arises from strict practice or from seeing similar objects, is called smriti, remembrance. In this state, shaking the head and moving the brows occur. 2.4.130. Smriti arising from seeing a similar object. O Mukunda, when lotus-eyed Radha saw a dark cloud, she remembered you and experienced the force of love. Right, so this aspect is here is that everything can be seen in context of Krishna because of qualities, right? Because you see something because of its qualities. We're seeing it simply by the what sense gratification we'll get from something, then we can't see in this way. So we see is that first point that was being made before is that the devotees, they give up the desire to enjoy materially. So because of that, they don't see anything from the material context. So now how can you see things? You can see it by the inherent qualities that it has. And those qualities are from Krishna, so they can remind you of Krishna. Understand? So that's why it's a natural, spontaneous thing that they're doing, because there's no material desire. Therefore, then the spiritual can come up. But if there's material desire, that will block the spiritual. Yes. Is that what somebody's saying? Yeah. Srila Prabhupada, remembrance. So it's not, so we see is that we may be doing it in a mechanical process. The material desire comes out, we put that, we control that, and then from that, then we move. Right? So it will be from that point of sadhana. But you see, as here with the devotees, it's a spontaneous aspect. So that's what I'm meaning. So it's not that the thing changes, its attitude changes. Because we're used to the ideas that we have this idea is that since the substance of something is the knowledge and the skill, you know, so therefore, then if I'm dealing with spontaneous devotional service, it must have a different knowledge and skill. Because we see here, that's not the case. Spontaneous means now it's in connection with Krishna. Right? Because it naturally is in connection with Krishna. And Vaidhi means it's in connection with the rule because we don't have that connection with Krishna. Does that make sense? So by practicing the Vaidhi properly in the proper association, then the heart gets purified. It can turn into the other. Right? So that's why we don't imitate it, and at the same time we don't have a critical attitude towards it. Because either one of these will make it where you actually can't experience it. So that's, yeah.
And we say that it also depends on us if we put more if we change our paradigm to look for Krishna as a person.
Yes, because then it becomes very easy, because yes, he yes. is a person, being the source of all yes. qualities, then you're going to see.
Yes.
Otherwise, if we're looking at the impersonal, you don't think of qualities.
Yes.
So that's the point. The person means qualities because he's because Bhagavan. He has all the bhagas,
yes, yes.
All the opulences. So then he automatically will think of the qualities of Krishna.
And we can do that at any level of Krishna.
Yes, yes. So that's why you see Rupa Goswami, it's mentioned, he's attracted by the qualities of Krishna.
Yes.
So it means if you're saying everything connected to Krishna, it means he's the origin of everything. Then what's expanding from is all the qualities. And how he uses these qualities in his relationship with the devotees. Because what you're looking at here, all these vyavicharas, they're all qualities.
Yes.
You know, the bashfulness or the covering or this or combinations and that like that.
Mm-hmm.
Srila Prabhupada, remembrance. There are many symptoms of ecstatic love caused by remembering Krishna. For example, one friend of Krishna informed him, "My dear Mukunda, just after observing a bluish cloud in the sky, the lotus-eyed Radharani immediately began to remember you. And simply by observing this cloud, she became lusty for your association." This is an instance of remembering Krishna in ecstatic love because of seeing something resembling him. Krishna's bodily complexion is very similar to the bluish hue of a cloud. So simply by observing a bluish cloud, Srimati Radharani remembered him. 2.4.131. Because here it's not that just Krishna's blue. It's a matter of, you know, Krishna's sarup is blue. His form is blue. So it's that remembering Krishna. So the blue reminds you of Krishna. So it's not that it's something that we've learned. So here it's that the similarity is something that they've experienced. From us, it's something we've heard.
Yes.
Similar objects. So from there, we can still make it work.
Yes.
That's the thing. If we can still, through that intellectual process, we can still get it to work.
Yes.
But we're saying it's for the devotees here, then it's spontaneous.
Yes.
2.4.131. Smriti arising from determined practice. Without concentrating, spontaneously, the lotus feet of the Lord now appear in my heart at any time and at any place. Srila Prabhupada. One devotee said that even when he was not very attentive, he would sometimes, seemingly out of madness, remember the lotus feet of Krishna within his heart. This is an instance of remembering resulting from constant practice. In other words, devotees who are constantly thinking of the lotus feet of Krishna, even if they are momentarily inattentive, will see the figure of Lord Krishna appearing within their hearts. Right, so that's the whole point. There's that spontaneous aspect. But from practice, you get yourself there. Right? So you can't speak against the Vaidhi. You know, but at the same time, you can't artificially practice spontaneous devotional service. And you can't think that spontaneous is some other practice. Right? It's just the natural practice that comes. So Vaidhi is simply delineating the activities that would naturally be performed or spontaneously performed. And so then when we don't have that affection, then it's given in that form. You know, or for those who like the aspect of majesty, then it will be there. In other words, the same activities there, but it'll have that formality that then adds to the flavor of majesty. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.